introduce that story. You know, we heard that Gabriel was the one who came and told Mary what was going to happen. And we're going to read in Luke's Gospel from chapter 1, verse 26 to 38, that tells us that part of the story. It's obviously some months before the event that we're celebrating this morning. And it says this: in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid. Mary, you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son. You are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I'm a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail. I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." And then the angel left her. Part of the story, part of the amazing story that resulted in God's Son being born. And we're going to think a bit about that story, and we're going to do it as a sort of double act. I'm going to share a few thoughts. Heather is going to ask a few more questions. So stay awake. You know, when we think about this story, the story that we saw on this video, the story we've been singing about this morning, the story that I've just read part of, one of the amazing things about that story, and we saw it in what happened to Mary as Gabriel came to see her, is how ordinary people like Mary, like Joseph, like the shepherds, like the wise men, allowed their lives and plans to be totally disrupted because God broke into what was going on and changed everything. And we're just going to take a few moments to look at some of those people this morning and use their story to ask ourselves the question, how might we respond when God speaks to us, when God breaks into our lives? So as I say, I'm going to share some thoughts on that while Heather asks some questions. We read about Mary a few minutes ago, and I'll look at that story. But yes, first Heather is going to come and ask us her first question.
Okay, it's not a difficult question, but my first question is, just like thinking about Mary when the angel asked her if she would carry the Son of God, how do you respond when somebody asks you to do something? I'm going to go straight to my youngest daughter because I know what the answer is. If I ask you to do something, what is always the answer?
I know what the answer is. Just a sec.
Just a sec. And a sec can be anywhere between 5 minutes and a couple of days. So that's what Jenna would say if she was asked to do something. Has anybody else got a pat answer or want to snitch on their husband or wife if they ever ask you to do something? What's the answer?
Says just a minute.
Just a minute. That's another variation on a theme, isn't it? All right. What does is this what you say or what Mary says?
Straight away.
Really?
Yep.
That just says it all, Mary. Jairus, what do you say when somebody asks you to do something?
Can you go get Jonah to do it?
Perfect answer. I heard squeals from the Matthews bench. What's going on over there? Oh, Mary's face. Still making them laugh over there. Anyone else? Okay, that's my first question, Graham.
Love that answer, Jairus. Go and get somebody else to do it. My brother to do it. Yeah. Mary... As far as we know, we don't know. Did she have sisters? She didn't say, have you got the wrong address? Have you got the wrong person? She wanted to understand what it would mean, what it was about. And her day was just about to totally change. Her life was just about to totally change. When she woke up that morning, I guess she would have had plans for a normal day. Shopping, working around the house, cooking. It was a busy life for people in Joseph and Mary's situation as they, you know, in the context of the day, they were not poor, but they weren't rich. It was a struggle to keep going. They were very, very busy people. Maybe she was preparing for her wedding with Joseph, the person to whom she was engaged, and they were looking forward to spending their lives together. But it all changed when the angel appeared and spoke to her. And the story we read tells us of some of those impacts, that she was afraid. She heard these amazing things about the fact that she was going to have a baby who was God's son. Having a baby in those days was really, really important. And she'd have been looking forward to that with Joseph, but suddenly she heard that actually it was going to be totally different. That the first baby she was going to have was the Son of God. She had lots of questions, but she willingly agreed to what God was asking her to do. An amazing response from this young woman. Some other people we read about in the story, we didn't read it this morning, but we know the story, we saw it on the video, that there were shepherds, unexpected witnesses. The first people who were encouraged to go and see him when Jesus was born were these shepherds in nearby fields looking after their sheep. They saw an angel. They saw a great light. They were terrified. They heard wonderful good news about the birth of a baby boy who was going to be the saviour of the world. It was an amazing thing that they heard. Which leads me to Heather's next question.
Have I done it the right way? Oh yes, that's it. My next question is, what do you think, and I know there's lots to choose from, but what is the most amazing part of the Christmas story for you? I had this question in one of my lessons that I taught before Christmas that I asked the children. I said, some of the Christmas story is easy to believe, the census, the journey to Bethlehem, but some of it requires faith to believe as well. So it might be that part of the Christmas story is just a really ordinary bit for you, or it might be one of the miraculous bits. So when you think of the Christmas story, which is the bit that really stands out for you? Anyone want to share? Otherwise, it'll be very quiet for the next 5 minutes. Hello. I'm going to give you a hug first. It's lovely to see you. Thank you.
Hi, guys. Can you hear me? I think so.
I think what stands out is, as Christians, sometimes you think if we're doing something for God, God will make it easy. And the fact that they were knocking on doors, no one was opening, I think by that time I'd be like, is this a joke? Am I actually, you know, is God watching his own son give birth? And how difficult it was for them from the outset. And I think that reflects on life as Christians here today.
Fabulous, thank you. Anyone else want to share what their the most amazing part of the Christmas story is for them? I'll go to Lisa, then I'll come to you, Paul.
I think I like the bit where there's the shepherds and the angels, because it has the whole thing there. So the lowest of the low, the highest of the high, the story's for everyone.
Fabulous. Thank you. Just going to go to Paul.
I just praise God that when Jesus was born, he had the humility to restore us sinners back into fellowship with himself, because that's ultimately what he wanted for us.
Fantastic. Thank you.
Doubting Thomas.
Oh, right. Well, he's gone on to Easter already. Not in my Christmas dinner yet.
There's always somebody who doubts that it's all true.
Yeah, it is. True.
And I suddenly find out if you go on that road with the two, they didn't recognize him at first. And then,
yeah.
And a lot of people just think it's a load of rubbish.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of people.
It's a miraculous story, isn't it? Thank you. Anyone else want to share? He's behind you. Not doing pantomime.
The statement that always speaks to me is, I think both Mary and Joseph had angels appear to them, and they were told that they must call his name Jesus, because he would save his people from their sins, and Jesus means I am Saviour.
Fantastic, thank you. Hi.
I think the most amazing part to me is the fact that Mary accepted to be the mother of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. It's really honourable.
It is. It is. Thank you. Are we done?
So many amazing things about that story. But did you, when you think about the shepherds and that story, they had that amazing experience. They were in the field, there were angels, there was this bright light, there was this great host singing and proclaiming good news on earth. And they didn't just think, well, that was a fun few minutes, let's go back to looking after our sheep. It changed their plans. They responded by going to see what they'd heard about. They went to see this baby who'd been born, and they told everyone they could find about what had happened, what they had heard, what they had seen, and they praised God for it all. It made a difference. And I guess, maybe for those of us who've heard this story many, many times, it raises a question. How do we respond today to this amazing story? Because it's still amazing, as Heather's just recognized, it's miraculous. People doubt it, but it is true. How do we respond? How does it affect what we do? Does it change our plans? Who do we tell? A long way away, people saw a star that announced the birth of a new king. So excited, they started out on a long, difficult journey that ended up with them meeting Jesus, worshipping him, and giving him gifts. Which is a prompt for Heather.
going to move this as well, just in case. So, is there anybody who got a gift this morning? Oh, here we go. And is there anybody who would like to come and tell